Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Good evening, good morning, good night, good second breakfast, whenever you are, wherever you are. My name is Laura Gonzalez, and I'd like to welcome you to Lunatic Mondays, the very first bilingual show for CSM Podcast, the Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast. And Lunatic Mondays is a bilingual show. It happens in Spanish the first week of the month, and then the second and fourth week of the month, we have it in English. And we have a lot of pre-recorded shows. If you go to the CSMP page, we have over 200 hours of various shows recorded. So, you know, there's plenty of you for you to keep yourself entertained. And tonight we have, speaking of entertaining, first-class entertainment, we have Louis Guru tonight here on the show. I'm very happy to have him on the show. And he tells us on his bio, I have lived in East Tennessee in the dark shadows of the Appalachian Mountains my whole life, hollers and creeks and haunted places. They have influenced my magic and my music from my teenage years until now. A simple farmer, a simple musician, and a simple witch. We are very happy to have you here on the show, Lou. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm just fine, and I'm very happy to be here, Laura.
I'm very happy to have you on the show. We met a little bit shy of a year ago. We met at PSG in person, and my impression was, what a relaxed, laid-back guy. I love your energy. You seem to be very chill.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed that show. That was in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I enjoyed hanging out with you. And it was a good time. And I'm very happy that you asked me to be here tonight. So you just ask me anything you want to ask me, and I'll make something up and answer you.
That's awesome. So I love music. And what you don't know, because we don't know each other that well, we've been in a couple of events together, but we never really, like, it was in Fort Wayne when we finally got the chance to kind of, like, sit together and chat a little bit. But what you don't know is I love music, but I cannot, I only sing in the shower because my thing is talking, not singing. I don't have the training, and certainly, I don't think I can do it like you all do it, but I have a passion for art and for music, and most importantly, I have a passion of knowing where the inspiration comes for you all to sing, to create music, and to do your own thing. So before we go into specific songs, because there are specific songs of yours that I really love, and I want to pick your brain and know where the inspiration comes from. But before I started on that, I want to know where the talent come from. When and how you started singing, at what age? Tell me the whole story.
Oh, I've always loved to sing since I was a little boy. And growing up where I grew up, it was country music. And the inspiration that I had was from Johnny Cash and Hank Williams. And they were both songwriters and they were both singers. Neither one of them was a particularly pleasant singer, but they were emotional. They put their feelings out there. And that's what I learned, was to let people know what you feel. It's not necessary to have a wonderful voice. I don't have a wonderful voice, but I know what I feel. And the things that I write, I'm very passionate about. And does that answer your question, or did I wander too far?
No, I want you to wonder even more, like, when was the first time you grabbed an instrument? Because that's for people like us who like the music, these are the things we want to know. Like, when was the first time you grabbed a guitar, and how did you? Was the first song that you learned how to play and stuff like that?
the first time that I learned to that I started to play, I was like about 13 years old. I had bought an old guitar at a pawn shop in Knoxville, Tennessee, and I took it home and I learned three or four chords, which meant that I could play 90% of every country song that was ever written. And I learned to play a Johnny Cash song. And I learned two or three songs. One of my dad's friends was a drummer, and he said, told my dad, he said, I can put that boy to work. And so at 14 years old, I started playing in bars in Knoxville, Tennessee, 14 years old. And I only knew about five songs, so I just play them over and over. But I did that for, oh, gosh, up until I was in my 30s. And then I stopped because at some point I decided I needed to become serious about life. And it was not hard to stop. It was hard to start playing again. And I started playing again after I realized that my life was just almost meaningless except for the magic. And I needed that music. I needed it more than anything. And when I started playing again, everything came back just like it had never been gone. And I haven't stopped, and I write stuff every day almost. I sit down and write. And it's changed my life in many ways tremendously in the past 3 years. I can't even describe it. That is
beautiful, and I can hear the passion in your voice. And one of the songs that I think it's the first song that I heard of yours. And, of course, I love it because being the feminist witch priestess that I am, Rise Up Lilith, you know, it's like, yes, I mean, I was screaming when I heard you live singing this. And how does a boy from Tennessee that grew up playing country music doing with magic and singing about Lilith, how did you get into magic?
I've been practicing magic since about the same time I started playing music. I grew up going to a Baptist church with my family, and it didn't make any sense. And so I started looking at other things, and magic was what I found. There wasn't a lot to find at that time for me, and I had to go on my own intuition as to what would work and what wouldn't, and it worked pretty well. But I couldn't continue going to Christian churches because there was no logic, there was no rationale there. And so I went on the path that I have been following now for over 50 years, and I don't think that I will ever veer from that path. It's what I'm true to. But to Lilith, I wrote Lilith because I have women in my life, my mother, my grandmother, all my female ancestors, and all my female friends. During my life, I've watched what goes on, and I'm not I'm not very well spoken to be able to be like a feminist and go out and say things and talk about things, but I can write about them. And what I see is that women are just put in a terrible situation, even in places where it's not supposed to be that way, where they have rights. And I say rights with quotation marks around them because people do not respect women. Men as a group do not respect women, but a lot of other women put women down. And I got really, really angry one day listening to some stuff that I was listening to. And I had been studying some writings about Lilith, and I sat down, and that song just kind of wrote itself. And that happens a lot. I sit down to write, and I don't really consciously think about what I'm writing, it just comes out. It happens, and it happens lots of times. And that was one of the songs that I did that it's just like I finished it and sat there looking at it and thinking, wow, I didn't intend to write that song. And mm-hmm. there it is.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I take advantage of when I have a live musician here in the show is I first ask the story of the song, particularly the songs that I like, and then I get to hear the story. And of course, coming from the author, it shapes the song in a different way. So what I like to do is I invite you, Lou, and everybody that is listening to listen to Rise Up Lilith and pay attention now with that emotion that we just heard on your voice, you know, and listen to the song. And of course, I know we're all going to enjoy it even more. And of course, having a musician on the show, we're going to listen to a lot of his music. So please don't go anywhere. We be right back with Lou after this song, Rise Up Lilith.
Rise up, Lilith, rise up, away from God, away from man. Rise up, Lilith, rise up, you took your freedom, you took your stand. You said, I bow to no man, I will lie beneath no man. I refuse to take his orders, spread your wings and flew away. You said, damn the men, damn the gods to their hell of smoke and flame. Rise up, Lilith, rise up, you're needed once again. Rise up, Lilith, rise up, away from God, away from man. Rise up, Lilith, rise up, you took your freedom, you took your stand. You refused his subjugation for this sin, you sure were damned. Truth is, you were never wrong, but we all understand. Now resistance to the patriarch is strong and on the rise. I see the women all around me, and I see you in their eyes. Rise up, Lilith, rise up, away from God, away from man. Rise up, Lilith, rise up, you took your freedom, you took your stand. Rise up, Lilith, rise up, away from God, away from man. Rise up, Lilith, rise up, you took your freedom, you took your stand. Rise up, women, rise up, take your freedom, take your stand. Rise up, women, rise up, take your freedom, take your stand. Rise up, women, rise up, take your freedom, take your stand.
And we're back here on Lunatic Mondays with Laura Gonzalez, yours truly, and of course we have Lou Guru tonight, and we're learning all about his music, but I want to interweave a little bit of his life story as well. So, Lou, I'm from Mexico, so I'm from Mexico City, and I transplanted here to Chicago, and I never been to Tennessee, never been to the South. We have an image of the South that is probably not necessarily the reality of people being, you know, they call it the Bible Belt. It's supposed to be like super religious and stuff. But, you know, I figure probably it's not as bad as we see it in the movies. Were you out of the closet growing up as a witch, or did you have to hide your spiritual beliefs?
Oh, I had to hide it. I would have when I was young, I would have been cast out. It was just one of those things you wouldn't have even talked about. And it was an unusual thing because my grandmother, my granny, who helped to raise me, she was one of these old women who she knew things. She had a big garden. She canned. She knew what plants that you could use for poultices. She had all the old weather sayings and things that I wish I had paid more attention to at that time. But she taught me one of the most important things, she and my mom both. They said that you can do anything that you want to if you want it bad enough. And so I learned the lesson of intent, even though I didn't know that was the lesson I was learning at that time. And decades later, it dawned on me what I had learned at that time from my granny. And, you know, she died in the year that I graduated high school, and my paternal grandfather died that same year, so it was a rough year. But yeah, I grew up in the South in the Bible Belt, and it is that way. There are a lot of the stereotypes that you see are true. It's not as bad now as it used to be. I call it the New South now. A lot of the people that I know around here, the old farmers and stuff, they're not like they were. They're not like they were. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people down here that are like me that are not real happy to see the Confederate flag. We kind of want to put that back away because we don't need that kind of thing going on. Now, there are still a lot of people who are like that. But the deliverance stereotypes, not so much. That's in the old days. And I'm glad that mm-hmm. I'm glad those days are mostly gone. You know,
yeah.
I have a lot of gay friends, and now they don't have to hide being gay. I have a lot of friends who, as you already know, are witches and pagans, and we don't have to hide it. You know, everybody around here knows that I'm a witch, and they don't give me any problems about it. It's just that's what I believe and what I do. And now I do hide the fact from most of them that I'm a musician because, well, we can't have that. That was a joke, Laura. They would disapprove of that.
You're amazing. So let me take back that story on. Okay, so you're a teenage boy. You're playing the five songs that you learned. I'm hoping some of them from Johnny Cash because we admire the same guy. and then you go out and you start singing, right? You have this job, you're singing. When do you start actually mixing your music with your belief system? Because you're singing now Lilith, Avalon, Ashes, ritual songs, etc. But when do you start actually mixing your belief system with the music?
Well, at that time when I started, as I said, I was doing things that I was doing intuitively. And I would come up with chants and songs that I would sing when I was out in the field. And I had an excellent place to go because we had a farm. We had woods behind where we lived, and I had my own little place back there that I went to practice. And oftentimes when I was back there practicing, I did sing as part of what I was doing. I didn't actually write songs at that time about that. That has come, you know, later in life. The songs that I tried to write back in those days were just country songs and rock songs and things like that because there wasn't any place to sing those songs back then except for myself. And so what I did then was private, and what I do now because of the pagan movement and all the witches that are out here, I don't have to be private anymore. I can do whatever I feel is right for me and for everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And boy, are we happy you do it. Another thing that I always see similarities with the American South, obviously, well, it's obvious for me. It might not be obvious for the people, but coming from Mexico, you know, we have a lot of similarities on the way that we behave and in the ways that also we fulfill them, stereotypes that kill me. But some of the good traditions or some of the good stereotypes, if you will, is this the kroner, right? The people that sing and the oral tradition of knowledge and passing that around with the music or with stories. Mexico is filled with a very rich oral tradition. And when I heard this song about Avalon that you sing, and it's like very, like a rock song, and it has a lot of flavor to it, and you talk about the myth. Were you thinking, I'm going to do a song about Avalon so I can tell people about the myth? For those who haven't read the book, or this is something that came in a dream, or where did the inspiration came to tell that story on a song form?
I went through a period a couple of years ago where I was going back and reading books that I had read 20 years before, old books, and I reread The Mists of Avalon. And I did have a dream about that. And so apparently, since I found stuff written down when I got up the next morning, apparently I wrote things down that night while I was still half awake, because I didn't remember writing them. And out of what I had written down and just sitting and looking at that, the song came out. It came to me like that. And, you know, the legends of Arthur and of Avalon, depending on who you read and how old the writings are, the stories are different. There's no perfect story. There's no true story. No one knows what happened or who Arthur even was. But this is my take on that time. And it's about the death of Arthur. And you know, it's a song of mourning.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anything else I can tell you about it. That's what it is.
It is a beautiful song, and for those who probably don't even know that you have it, it is a long song, but it is worth to listen to it, every second of it, and it reminds me a lot of that oral tradition that I was talking about that I'm sure is probably alive and well on the Appalachian. I can never say Appalachian mountains. Say it for me, please.
Appalachian. You're pronouncing it correctly. There are a lot of people, especially educated people, who say Appalachian. But down here, we all say Appalachian. If we say it at all, we just mostly talk about the mountains.
Ooh. Okay. Good to know.
So you're well, on with your pronunciation.
Awesome. Thank you. Appreciate that. All right, folks. Fasten your seatbelts. This is a 7-minute song, but I promise you, every second of it is worth it. Don't go anywhere, because we're going to come back here and we're going to ask Lou about more songs and more inspiration. So don't go anywhere. We will be back with more here on Lunatic Mondays.
Echoes of another time, echoes of the other world. A king unites a nation, and his legend changed the world. Avalon. Avalon, I can smell the apple trees at the first gray light of dawn. and the marshmallow on the breeze. Outside the gates of Avalon, Avalon. Avalon. His knights carried him away. The mystic sword cast in the lake. On down the Roman road, half in dream and half awake, to Avalon. To Avalon. So he drank the bitter potion, a magic from the witch's land, and his visions were no smell on the breeze. outside the gates of Avalon. 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 Avalon.
And we're back live here on Lunatic Mondays, Lunas Lunaticos, the very first bilingual show for CSM Podcast. And when I tell you all that this is the very first bilingual show is because we have two bilingual shows here on CSM Podcast. For those who don't know, we have a show on Saturdays that is called Paganos del Mundo, which roughly translates to Pagans of the World. And that show is done on Spanish and Portuguese. So the CSM Podcast is actually a trilingual station. We have three different languages for all of y'all to serve you throughout the world. So when I read the descriptions for the Paganos del Mundo, obviously, bear with me because they're going to be on Spanish. So for all of us who speak Spanish, Paganos del Mundo, May 2nd, Cristian Ortiz with Arquetipos de Dioses. He's going to be talking about the different aspects of the gods based on the Dr. Jan Shinoda Bolin and that influence on the daily life of men and gods. So the masculine aspect of the divine. That will be on May 2nd. On May 9th, yours truly, Laura Gonzalez, I'll be talking about rituals. Why do we do rituals? The importance of rituals, and especially on this time, I hate to say it on this time, but everybody is using that phrase. These times are hard, and these times we really, really need our rituals. So I will be talking about that on May 9th, and that those two shows are going to be in Spanish. Then on May 16, Monica Govin is also going to be talking on Spanish about the zodiac sign, the horoscopes. And she's talking to us on a series of shows about the luminous and the dark aspects of every zodiac sign. And she already did Aries and Taurus and I can't remember what's the other one, Gemini. And then on this show that is going to air on May 16, she's going to do Cancer, Leo, and Virgo. I must say I have to really listen to that show because those are my three signs. My sun, my rising, and my moon. Oh, my God. Anyway, on May 23rd, Petrusa Sinclair, who is our Portuguese broadcaster. She broadcasts her show in Portuguese, and she usually does interviews in Portuguese. And in this occasion, she's going to be interviewing Chris Morgan, talking about traditional witchcraft and what is the art of witchcraft. And that show is going to be in Portuguese. And because May has a fifth Saturday, we're going to have from the archives psychic abilities. It just so happened that it's with me. So you will hear me twice this month. And I will be talking about psychic abilities and how to hone that art of connecting with your intuition and your psychic abilities. And, of course, all of that is going to be on Spanish and Portuguese. And then, of course, on May 4th or 1st, Lunes Lunaticos of the month, the first Lunatic Mondays that is in Spanish, I will be talking with Alex Quiron, Warlock, about Hellenismo, the Hellenic cult. And that is the first show of Lunatic Mondays in May on Spanish. Now, the second and fourth Monday are when the shows are in English. And on May 11th, we will have Celia Farren. Celia Farren, who has always been a very tech-savvy musician and has been doing online concerts and using Patreon and technology to keep her music alive. And, you know, she was saying the other day, I really want to play for a live audience. We all do. We all do. We all want to do it. But for now, Celia is one of those people who has been doing online stuff, and we're going to talk about that and how she's been adapting to the times. And then on May 25th, we're going to have Chris Allen, and Chris is going to be with us also talking about adapting to this new reality of doing a lot of stuff online, because he's been doing a lot of classes on I think it's his fourth book is coming up, and we're going to be talking about the book, and we're going to be talking about adapting to the times and doing stuff online and reaching out to people, you know, throughout technology, which is something that most all of us have been doing. But enough about that. I want to welcome back my dear friend, Louis. Louis, are you there? Uh-oh, I think this computer is getting stuck on me. I know he's there. There you go.
I am here.
Hi, Lou. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
I'm hey. Back. I heard the little voice say unmute.
Yes. Yes, but it took a little extra to, you know, finish unmuting, and I was like, oh my God, please don't do that. Speaking of technology, you're also been doing like live stuff, and you know, I've seen you doing more live music on your Facebook.
I have been, as I write new songs, I've been sharing them with my friends and getting, you know, the feedback on that. We're getting ready to do a couple of, the Three Gates Gathering and Puff this year are going to combine and have a virtual festival, a virtual gathering, a virtual event, and we're still getting the bugs worked out. I'm still trying to figure out exactly how I'm going to do it. Some of the other artists have studios that they're going to. I'm going to have to cobble something together myself, but I will. And as you said, the technology is something that we have to reach for. And being a little long in the tooth, it's hard for me to reach out and embrace some of the new technology. It was very hard for me to... When I got the digital studio to use, it was hard for me to learn how to do that. But I think I've got that now, and so I'm ready to take another step in that direction. I really admire Celia for what she's been doing. She has just been going nuts, putting stuff out and doing live concerts and the Patreon thing. I want to see her at some point and talk to her about that, because we cross paths occasionally out on the road. But right now it's very hard because there are no live events, you know, to do.
No, it's hard. And like I was saying earlier, you know, I really dislike having to use in these times, but it is what it is. You know, these are trying times, and these are times where we have to learn new things. And I hear you, you know, it's hard for some folks to do it. And that's exactly why I wanted to interview Celia, because she's been doing this for a while. You know, she's been doing this
yes.
online concerts for a while. So I figure if there are people like you or other people who want to get into this Patreon thing and doing the online concerts and the platforms that she used, that you can actually tip her. And
right.
I want to interview her about that, because she's been doing that for a while. And as a matter of fact, that's how I met her. Celia and I were friends online for a long time before I actually met her in person in 2015. That was the very first time I actually met her in person. But I've known her, and we've been friends since like 2011, I think, because she's so active on the media platforms, and so am I. So, you know, of course, we've seen each other all the time. But I really hope that, you know, folks understand that we all need to support each other at this time, at this day and age. And I love something that I read somewhere. Don't buy art from a dead artist. A dead artist don't need your money. Buy art from a living artist. And you say you have new albums coming, and it will be my pleasure to have some of the music and, you know, rotate it here on the station so people can reach out and buy digital copies, you know. Because most people,
well,
that's what they're doing
that.
Right now. Yeah, of course. Of course. That's, you know, that's why we're doing this, to help each other and to promote the music. But going back to the music, you were telling me a story, and I remember that when you started telling me that anecdote, I was like, no, 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 wait, don't tell me anything, because I really wanted to hear it all live on the show, because you said it so nonchalantly, like, oh, you know, I have a heart attack, right? And I was like, what? No, I didn't know that. And you said that changed your life. So can you please tell me that anecdote now?
Okay. As long as I don't have to say anecdote. about 3 years ago in September, I was out working on the farm, which is what I do, or what I did. And I came inside, and basically, I just collapsed. Went to the hospital. I was in the hospital for 8 days. I had a heart attack, and I was in and out, coming and going. They took me to the hospital in Chattanooga in a helicopter. It was a very traumatic experience, because as far as I was concerned, I was perfectly healthy. I've been strong as a horse my entire life, and to have this happen, it was just like, it was devastating. And I had just started playing music again. I had just started. And as I was in the hospital, I kept having this same dream, and it was almost a vision, that I was in a forest, in a jungle, you know, trying to fight my way through laurel and vines and things. And I came to a place where I could see this white cliff in front of me, and it was just like, just stunningly white. It was almost blinding. And I thought, in the dream and sense, that there should have been something there. There should have been petroglyphs or graffiti or, you know, there should have been something, but it was a blank wall. And I put a lot of thought into that, because that was always the culmination of the dream. I would hear wings, big wings, overhead beating. But that white wall was there in front of me. And I finally doped it out that what that was that my future was not yet written. And, you know, I've had friends that laugh about that, and they say that that's the lesson of Sarah Connor's. So if you've ever seen Terminator, you know what I'm talking about. But that Sarah Connor said that the future was not written, and that's what I got from that blank wall, that I could do whatever I wanted to do. It didn't matter if I was in my 60s. If I decided I was going to play music again, I was going to play, and I did, and I have. And surprisingly enough, people like my music. People like my songs. And, you know, I've had a lot of gigs last year, had a lot of gigs scheduled for this year, but the COVID-19 kind of put an end to that. So I'm time when I can get back out and play again. I enjoy recording, I enjoy writing, I enjoy everything that I do. But the thing I enjoy more than anything else is to get up in front of a crowd of people and to share my music with them. So I learned that lesson from that you're not too old, you're not too anything to be able to follow your dream. So there's my anecdote.
Which is probably a poor choice of words to call it an anecdote, actually, because that's
it's a perfect choice of words. But that's the story. And the stay in the hospital changed my life, because the doctors told me I couldn't farm anymore. I had to stop. And so it was a very easy transition to go from doing what I was doing to get back to what I love more than anything, which is to play music.
Mm-hmm. And farming your whole life, I'm sure it was a shock, you know, like it's almost like, you know, I know it's not the same thing, but I compare it with the life of an immigrant, you know, because I immigrated from Mexico and now my life is different. And it's kind of like that, you know, it's like turning it all around and you're never going to be who you were before, but you still are the same person, you know, and it's like a whole new world opens up and you're like, I can do whatever the heck I want. And that is a beautiful thing.
It is. And one of the things that I really, really enjoy, when I was younger, back, you know, a long time ago, and played music, it was very competitive. All the musicians were, you know, everybody disliked each other and was jealous of each other about this gig or that gig or what you were playing or what. With pagan musicians, it's not like that. We're more of a family, at least the ones that I have been privileged to meet. They're family to me, and they have welcomed me, you know, just like I've always been here, and I have appreciated that so very much. To have these people, Mama Gina, Celia, Brian Hinkey. You know, the first time I met Brian Hinkey, it was just like it's like I'd known him my whole life, and we played together, and it was just very cool. But everyone that I have met in the pagan community, but especially as the tribe of musicians, it's family, and I really, really appreciate and enjoy that. So there's my plug for all my friends.
Of course, and well-deserved, and, you know, they're all amazing people, and I am planning to try to get Mama Gina on the show. Don't tell anybody. Those are my plans, probably in July.
Okay, we'll keep that secret.
Keep that secret, please. But yeah, you're right. You know, everybody on the pagan community is very welcoming. And again, coming from a different culture, you know, when in Mexico, when you have your musicians or your artists, you know, it's usually like, oh, they are the artists. That don't talk to them, you know, because you don't even look at them on the eye because, you know, they're the talent. And with the pagan community, it's like, you're all my friends.
That's
amazing. It is amazing. Speaking of music and the wonderful inspiration that you bring into your music, I really want to ask about this song, Dark Water Witch's Cry. Another one of your songs that I find fascinating, and I would like to know where the inspiration comes from.
That came from friends of mine in the Asheville area. Byron Ballard, and who's the village witch of Asheville, North Carolina, and some of her cronies and friends there. I just kind of took the teachings that I got from them and the attitude that I got and fictionalized this story. And you know, I can see any of them in this situation and see how badly it would go for someone who wrongs them. And that's the song.
And that's what it is. So
that's what
I
it
invite
is.
You all. Yep. I cannot say it how I normally say it on Facebook because we are on a podcast that I'm trying to keep clean. But I normally say don't mess with a witch. I say go ahead and mess with a witch, and then let me know how that's working for you.
Yeah, that doesn't work out so well.
So I invite you all to stay here and listen to Lou. This is called Dark Water Witch's Cry. We will be back with more here on Lunatic Mondays. Don't go anywhere.
She met him in the tavern. She reveled in his touch. She loved him with all her soul. He didn't love her quite so much. She found another woman lying laughing in his bed. When he saw the madness in her eyes, he grabbed his things and fled. you hear the witches cry. The tears flow from her eyes as the howling wind blows the storm in from the sea. Dark waters rise like salt tears from her eyes, and her pain is like that demon that you don't see. The storm clouds form and the lightning flashes while the tower of her resolve it slowly crashes. Mad the smiles behind her eyes, thinks about her pain, about his lies. Resentment turns to vengeance, you hear the witches cry. Hear the witches cry. The tears flow from her eyes as the howling wind blows the storm in from the sea. Dark waters rise like soft tears from her eyes, and a pain is like that demon that you don't see. There's no more place for him to run, no more lies to hide behind. She's cut the cords that bound her, but it ties it no more bind. He's lifeless on the rocks below, his body hidden in the mist. He caused her heart to harden, and now it's come to this. Hear the witches cry, the tears flow from her eyes as the howling wind blows the storm in from the sea. Dark waters rise like salt tears from her eyes, and her pain is like that demon that you don't see. Thinking about those days so long ago, the way it had to be. Dressed all in black, she sits alone, her tears a long time dried. She savors memories from long ago, the day her lover died. You hear the witches cry, tears flow from her eyes as the howling wind blows the storm in from the sea. Dark waters rise like salt tears from her eyes, and her pain is like that demon that you don't see. Her pain is like that demon that you don't see. Her pain is like that demon that you don't see.
And we're back here live on Lunatic Mondays, Lunas Lunaticos, with my dear friend Lou Guru. I already liked you. I already loved you. I already loved your music. But after interviewing you, I feel a lot closer to you now, knowing where the songs come from. This is such a beautiful gift, and I thank you so much for giving it to us here on the show tonight, Mo.
Well, you're very welcome. I appreciate you having me on.
I really, you know, I think this is so funny because we're 5 minutes to finish the show, and we were thinking, you know, how are we going to fill the show? There's no a whole lot to say. I feel like I have, you know, enough questions for another show. I'm thinking maybe we should do a group interview and have you with your other friends together. I don't know. I mean, my mind is just going places right now. And, of course, asking you where you're going to be next, it will be very silly because nobody's going nowhere. But where can people find you? Where can they find your music? How can they follow you?
Right now you can go to my Facebook site, which of course is Lewis Guru, or you can just go to Amazon and buy the music.
Yep. And please buy the music and support living artists.
Please buy the music.
Yes, don't be downloading free stuff, please. Don't be doing that. Do that to Mozart. Mozart don't need money anymore, but Louis needs money, and we all need money. So,
I need money.
buy from your friends, you know, and the ones that are thinking about the things that you like. I cannot let you go. Somebody in the chat says that will be cool. Yes, please go to Amazon, buy the CDs, and... Before letting you go tonight, I have to reiterate, Lou, I love your music. I love having you on the show. Thank you so much for saying yes. And before I give you the microphone to say goodnight to your audience, very quickly, Wolf at the Door. That I feel like is very personal, but I want to hear the story.
Well, it's just one of those songs that I sat down and it just came to me. I was just automatic writing, and I have an affinity for wolves, and it's difficult for all wild animals out there now because there's so many people, and there are people everywhere in their environment where they've always been, and the line "Where can the wolf survive?" it just resonates with me.
Beautiful. Lou, I leave you the microphone so you can say goodnight to your audience tonight.
Goodnight, y'all. I appreciate you listening, and I'll see you out on the road somewhere. Have a good one.
Have a good one, everybody. This is obviously Lou Guru with Wolf at the Door. My name is Laura Gonzalez. Please tune in to CSM Podcast. Follow us on the page on CSM Podcast. And, of course, you can also follow Paganos del Mundo and Lunatic Mondays on their very own Facebook pages. And never forget, there's about 200-plus hours of podcasts with Selena Fox, with David and Janet Eden, with Deborah Rose, and, of course, with yours truly and the team of Paganos del Mundo. This is Lou Guru with Wolf at the Door. And I'll say goodnight tonight. Never forget that you are loved. Bye-bye.
Where can the wolf survive, she said. Here in my arms tonight, she said. On her blood she swore to the wolf at the door. She swore he would survive. For days the men pursued him through the dark forest. with the dogs and the fire and their guns. Through the wind and the snow, there was no place safe to go. All he could do was to run. He found haven at her cottage door. She opened up the door and it was warm inside. Then she stroked his dark fur and he looked up at her. The wolf saw no fear in her eyes. Where can the wolf survive, she said. Here in my arms tonight, she said. Down her dark hallway, the wolf she led. And she swore he would survive. They call him a killer, he kills to survive. He isn't evil, he's just alive. Then the men in their anger, they burned down her home. But this time the wolf doesn't run away alone. Where can the wolf survive, she said. Here in my arms tonight, she said. On her blood she swore to the wolf at the door. She swore he would survive. Down in some dark valley, the snow stained red. The steam's still rising, but the men are all dead. They could have given up, they could still be alive. It begs the question, where can the wolf survive? Where can the wolf survive, she said. Here in my arms tonight, she said. On her blood she swore to the wolf at the door. She swore he would survive. He would survive. Thank
you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcasts, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connected to the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.